Psalm 48, we're going to look at this chapter, this entire chapter, but what caught my attention specifically in it was verse 12. That's originally what caught my attention. Verse 12 says, "Walk about Zion and go round about her." Wouldn't you love to do that? Wouldn't you love to walk around Zion? Go round about her? The beautiful city of God. Like the Apostle Paul, he was called up to the third heaven. Wouldn't that be amazing? Walk around Zion. Did you know that's what we do every time we come together and look into this word? That's what we do every single time we gather together and look into the beauty of this word. We are taking a walk around Zion. That's what we're doing. We're just getting a look at things. We're seeing things, the scripture says, too wonderful for us. Isn't that what's in the pages of this book? Things that are absolutely too wonderful for us. We're hearing things in the heart, not just with the ears. God's people hear things in the heart that it is not possible for a man's mouth to utter. It's just not possible. Sometimes God speaks to our hearts so sweetly, so tenderly, so gloriously through His Word, you just can't put it into words. You just can't. I think that all the time while I'm studying. I always beg the Lord, would you please let it come out half as good as it went in? Just half as good. The Lord opens up His Word and you think, how can you describe it? How can you put it into words? Don't we love it when God enables this flesh? This flesh is a dead substance. And don't we love it when God touches it and put some life in there? And just for a minute, He opens up His Word and lets us enter in. Walk on in. Just for a minute. Don't we love that? Verse 12 says, "Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following." Take a good look at Zion. Everything that God has prepared, everything that God has done, that you may tell it to the generation following. How thankful would we be if He allowed us to do that tonight? Tell it to the generation following. Look with me at verse 1. He says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." Robert Hawker is a commentary writer. I read him often, usually first one I go to. And this is what he said about that. He said, "It is always comely to bless the God of mercy before we bless God for mercy." You hear what he said? It is always good and right and lovely and comely to bless the God of mercy before we bless God for mercy. He said, "Great is the Lord." Great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. He went on to say, if we really love the gift, how much more ought we to love the giver? You know, that's something that God does in the heart of His people. Everybody wants salvation. You know what God puts in this heart right here? A love for the Savior, the giver, Him. His mercy is great. His grace is great. The reason is because He is great. He is great. Verse 1 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King." The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Why is Mount Zion the joy of the whole earth? Why is Mount Zion the greatest joy this earth could ever have? The greatest joy this earth could ever possess. The reason is because the King is there. That's the reason. The King is there. The happiness of Zion revolves around one man. One man. I have a king. We have a king. I can't wait to see him. I cannot wait to see him. I cannot wait to bow before him. The happiness of Zion, the happiness of everything, revolves around one man. We just sang, "Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven." That's what he is. Take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. Child of sorrow and of woe, that describes every one of us. We're children of sorrow, children of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. At the name of Jesus, bowing, falling prostrate at His feet. I love how the Scripture says that's what the angels do. That's what we all will do. Prostrate means as flat as you can become. Hands out, feet out, face in the ground. You can't get any lower than that. Falling prostrate at His feet. King of kings in heaven will crown Him when our journey is complete. He's already the King. We're just going to personally acknowledge Him to be so. Hope of earth, joy of heaven. Verse 2 says, "Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge." That's how the citizens of Zion know the God of Zion. That's how they know Him. They know Him as their refuge. I thought about all the flippant ways that people know and refer to God. All the flippant ways. And I thought, I'm not going to even name them. I'm not going to go into it. All the flippant ways that they refer to who He is and what He's done. And true Zion, the true people of God, see Him as their refuge in all things. Spiritually, daily, refuge. Hold your place right here and go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me." Where is that? In Himself. In the secret of His tabernacle. In Himself, the cleft of the rock. They see Him, the citizens of Zion see Him to be the one who was broken for them. Broken to provide a hiding place in the time of trouble. A hiding place for the day of wrath, the day of vengeance on sin. Can you see God's people running to the hiding place in that day? Everything stands before the judgment throne of God. Where are we going to run? The hiding place. Safely tucked inside the hiding place. There's a song that says, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. You talk about the hope of earth and joy of heaven. Joy of heaven, hiding in thee. Back over in Psalm 48, verse 4 says, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. Everyone and everything that is outside of the blood of Jesus Christ is against the city of God. Everyone and everything against the people of the city, His people. The reason is because there's a great adversary. There is a great adversary who sways the hearts of wicked men and women, which is all of us outside of God's grace. But He sways the hearts to be against Christ and His people, the King and His people. He stirs up earthly kings. They make their decrees. They make their battles. He stirs up the kings. He stirs up the nations. He stirs up everything He can against the people of God. Turn with me, though, over to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verse 1 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do they do it? Why do they do it? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But verse 4 says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Blessed. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. God the Father said to Isaiah, behold my servant. Take a good look at my servant. He shall not fail. He's not going to fail. He is going to redeem His people from their iniquity. And they're going to be a blessed people. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Our Lord has already gotten the victory. They set their counsel against Him, but He's already gotten the victory. The stone that the builders refused has become the head of the corner. That's what the Scripture says. And He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. A sure foundation. Back to Psalm 48, verse 4 says, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Spurgeon said about that, he said, in the same way that they looked up at Zion and ran away. They came to Zion and they were going to attack it. And when they saw what they saw, they turned and ran. And he said, in the same way, they looked up at Zion and ran away in fear. He said, those who attack the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus, if they did but know how well it is garrisoned by the omnipotence of Jehovah, they also would faint with fear and give up the assault. They would give up. Why do the heathen rage? You know why? It's because they haven't seen the God of Zion yet. That's the only reason. If they saw, they would give up the assault, turn and run. And Spurgeon went on to say, if they don't, the Lord is going to break them in pieces, just like he broke those ships of Tarshish with an east wind. I love how Moses said in Exodus 15, that's the blast of his nostril that blows them away. They can't stand against it. Verse 8, David said, as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. In the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Every victory God said he would accomplish, he has accomplished. Every single victory. Everything he said he would do, he did it. Every single thing. That's what David said in his day. That's what all the apostles said in their day. They said the prophets said Messiah would come. Here he is. Here he is. He came. He did everything that was prophesied of him. Everything. The same thing is going to be said in the latter day. The exact same thing. Every soul in glory is going to look back and say, as we have heard, so have we seen. Every single thing that was done. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. In the city of our God, God will establish it forever. He said he had found his church on a rock. That rock is Christ. And the scripture says the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And then he said in verse 8, Selah. Selah. That means dwell on that for just a little while. Think about that for just a little while. Pause right there. Enjoy it. Just enjoy that for a minute. Verse 9 says, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. What a precious thing to think about. The loving kindness of God. He said, we've just sat around and pondered your loving kindness. Loving kindness. What a precious place to do it in the midst of your temple. When we come together, God's chosen people, His chosen city, when they come together, we all collectively come to think on His loving kindness toward us. You know that? We're here to think about His loving kindness toward us. We come to think about His thoughts toward us. He said, I know my thoughts toward you. And that's what we're here to do. Think about His thoughts toward us. Thoughts of peace. That's what we love to hear. That's what keeps us going. That's what gets us over the hump. That's what will get us all the way through this life. His loving kindness toward His people. Verse 10 says, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. What is His name? His name is Savior. Savior. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Call His name Emmanuel, because God is with us. God is with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? God is with us, the God-man. He's the friend of the only one who can save. Did you know, you think about this, in all of everything, all principalities and powers and spiritual things and physical things, this earth, the earth to come, there's only one person who can save us. And he's the friend of sinners. Isn't that amazing? Only one. No other person, no other thing can save us. And the only one who can is the friend of sinners. According to thy name, so is thy praise to the ends of the earth. All of the ends of the earth are going to hear that name, aren't they? All the ends of the earth. He's going to return and all of his people are going to hear with a great announcement, with a shout and a trumpet. They're all going to hear in a glorious declaration, "Behold your God." Every soul that is his enemy in fear and judgment at the same moment in time is going to hear, "Behold your God. Behold your God. He's here." All the ends of the earth is going to hear it. And verse 10 goes on to say, "Thy right hand is full of righteousness." Who is the right hand of God? That's Christ. The one at his right hand. He's full of righteousness. Everything he does is right. Everything he does is in righteousness. When he comes to sinners, he deals with them in righteousness. There is forgiveness with him. But do you know what he does not do? He does not say, "That's all right, don't worry about it. I forgive you." Can't do it. Can't do it. What he said was, "You must be punished. Get inside me." Let him have it. Even his mercy and his forgiveness is completely and totally in righteousness. He shows mercy because it's right. The price is paid. In Christ, don't you love that verse of Scripture that righteousness, mercy and truth are met together? They meet together. Righteousness and peace end up kissing each other. Verse 11 says, "Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments." Every single one of his judgments are good and right and just and holy and perfect and pure. Whoever is in charge of the nation is going to have one group of people saying, "Great!" And one group of people saying, "We hate that." Isn't that right? This is what we want. This is what we don't want. We're in support. We protest. Every soul in Zion says, "Just, right, good, true, perfect, amen." Amen. Total. Everything he does is perfect. It's perfect. So verse 12 says, "Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following." Tell it to anybody who will listen. Anybody who will listen. Tell them about the beautiful city of God, the city that God has made. Tell them these eternal truths that the city is built on. Tell them about the solid rock on whom the city stands. Tell everyone about the everlasting promises that guard this city. There are promises in here that guard this city. He said, "Tell about the towers." This city has towers. Tell them who's in the tower, keeping watch. The one who never slumbers and never sleeps. Never. Christ himself. Tell them about her bulwarks, her shield, her defense. It's immovable. It cannot be overtaken. It cannot be. There's no weak spot. There's no crack in the wall. No place left undefended. You tell it to generation after generation after generation. You know that's what we're doing. There was a time when this generation heard it, and this generation did not. But we kept telling it. And you know what I pray for this generation? Is that our little ones might hear it too. You tell it to generation after generation after generation. You just keep telling it. Keep telling it to generation after generation. Look with me at Psalm 125. Man, I've always loved this. Psalm 125, verse 1 says, "They that trust in the Lord." Do we trust in the Lord? Do we trust in the Lord? If I'm going to get to glory, how am I going to get there? What am I trusting in? What am I looking to? What am I hoping in? What are all my eggs in? What basket? Are they in one basket, or do I diversify just in case? In case that goes south, I got a little something going over here too. Are they in one basket? This says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever." Don't you love that? Not going to be removed. Look with me over at Isaiah 60. I love this. I'm looking forward to this. Isaiah 60, verse 18 says, "Violence shall no more be heard in thy land." Could you imagine living in a land where there was no violence? Can you imagine that? You turn the news on. What's the news today? Salvation is still secure. God still reigns on His throne. "Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation." You're going to look at all thy walls and you're going to say, "That's my salvation, Christ." And you're going to call your gates praise. "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended." All sorrow will be over. "Thy people also shall be all righteous," all of them. "They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." He said, you tell that to generation after generation after generation. You just keep telling that. Because, go with me back to Psalm 48. Psalm 48, verse 14 says, "For, because this God is our God forever and ever, He will be our guide forever. even unto death. If this God right here is our God, this God, the God of this scripture, if this God is our God, then we have been made to be fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Isn't that what the scripture says? Fellow citizens. If this God right here is our God, He has prepared a place for us. That's where He said He was going, and that's what He said He was going to do. If I go, I will prepare a place for you in this beautiful city of God, beautiful Zion. He said, you tell every generation that. Every single generation, every tribe, every nation, every kindred, every tongue. And in that declaration, I'm going to call out my sheep. One by one, I'm going to select them. And I'm going to call them. I'm going to pierce their heart. And I'm going to call them. And they're all going to cry collectively. Every single one of them will cry, this God is our God. This God is our God. And that's what we cry, isn't it? That's what we cry. Thank God, this God is our God. We are going to get to say that for all eternity, forever and ever, never ending. All glory and praise. That God right there is our God. That's wonderful. Let's all stand together.